At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome to the Power Up Podcast. I'm your host, Trevor Scullion. Join me for some powerful conversations with members of the Substation Design Solutions Industry Consortium, the SDSIC. I'll chat with members about the consortium, innovations, how they're implementing different technologies, even some of the projects they're working on to address the growing needs of our power grid. Joining me today is Dennis Beck, founder and CEO of SBS. Dennis and his team are the developers of the AUD and SDS software that's used by many members of the SDSIC. Dennis has also been providing sponsorship dollars and personnel to the SDSIC conferences for many years now. Yeah, thanks so much for joining me today, Dennis. I'm really glad we were finally able to get this on the books and get you online.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you bet. Sorry it took so long. You're a busy man. Hard to nail down. At one point, I was going to drive to Colorado and just bring the microphone.
Oh, that would have been great. Now, we are having some snow today, so it might not be as pleasant as where you are up in Toronto. So,
No, I'm trying to get away from that. But well, see, you're well aware of all the background. You and I talked about this, and you know, this podcast was meant to really inform the now 1,768 members, get them to know folks, and really is one of the key aspects of the SDSIC and getting yourself on. And I really wanted folks to get to know you. So maybe we'll just start with, you know, your background and your career and how you ended up founding SBS.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, I'm an engineer by training. So I went to Purdue back in the day when they had a really good football team and basketball team. I graduated with a civil engineering degree, and then I went to the University of Texas and I got a master's degree in construction management. I did that while I was working professionally at IBM.
Oh, wow.
15 years. And so I was doing, they were building lots of facilities back then. So I was doing facilities management, kind of a precursor to asset management. Then when things changed at IBM, I moved into systems engineering. So it's kind of interesting. I shifted from traditional civil engineering construction to technology in a big way, you know, working for a company like IBM.
Yeah,
then I moved to a startup after that called Small World Systems out of Cambridge, UK. I was a complete change from IBM, which was kind of funny, you know, where IBM was big blue, big structured enterprise, white shirts. This group of PhDs, and they had engineering degrees, came from a university. They went to the pub every day for lunch, and it was a great experience. So I kind of got the big company stuff, and I got the innovation side of it too. So it's been a pretty fun thing.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you gotta love the Brit. They just kind of have a pint at lunch.
Yeah, exactly. Not sure how they do it.
Well, that's awesome. So was that, is that when you first met Andy?
Yeah, I actually met Andy when I was at Small World. And so Andy Street's my partner in the business, and he was starting a company to do small world-based services.
Okay.
And they were really eager to get some kind of work to get the company started. And as it turned out, he had a perfect skills match for a project we were trying to do up in Wisconsin, one of our very first projects with Small World in the United States.
Oh, wow.
And so we granted the work to his company, and he grew it to a very successful services company. And ultimately, we enjoyed working together so much, we decided to form SBS back in 2002 now, so over 20 years ago. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, 20 years.
So we were kind of an interesting situation was going on there, too, with GE. I had been employee number 7 at Small World, and we really grew the company from a tech startup to a publicly traded company on NASDAQ and such.
Okay.
When we went back to the GE, you know, when GE acquired us, we were doing some very innovative work around critical infrastructure, and it was related to national security. It didn't really line up with GE's objectives. So Andy and I really weren't ready to let go of what we were doing. It was just fascinating work. And so we amicably left, and that's when we started SBS. And our whole objective was linking the world of IT, that traditional enterprise computing, enterprise information management, with all the unique things associated with technical, you know, engineering software platforms of CAD and GIS. You know, we've really morphed many ways over the years, but we've been doing some kind of variant of that, of the original vision ever since.
Oh, wow. Okay. When did you first get involved with Autodesk with that? So that way back then, or was that much after?
Yeah, it was after we started SBS. We were doing a lot of work with GIS to GIS synchronization and data transformation and such.
Okay.
And we developed some really clever things around Esri and Small World and Oracle Spatial. And Autodesk saw what we were doing. They reached out to us and said, is there any way you could solve some of those problems in the CAD domain?
Mm-hmm.
And so we entered an engagement with them to develop something called FDO Provider. And that's an older open OSGO as the group that sponsored FDO, but has an open protocol. And so we developed one between Small World and AutoCAD technology. And that was an R&D work, bit of work we did. And that really got us doing some interesting things on the CAD front. And I always felt that getting CAD and GIS working together better would be a really powerful thing for the market.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we initially got started with that.
Wow. Yeah. I remember meeting Pat Reed from your team at AU. And I think Autodesk had put us out there as partners, and you know, neither one of us knew what the other did. And we were just leaning on these small little tables, and after a lot of boredom, we just started chatting, and you filled me in on SBS. It was like a long time ago.
Well, it was really interesting too, because when Pat joined the company, he had really wanted to do some work with the AUD product, you know, so our flagship distribution design product, and now the basis for our physical design solutions. And when we met up, I wasn't really familiar with AUD. I was really interested in moving CAD-based design into the enterprise environment, particularly with all this FBO interoperability we had done. He wanted to take AUD into the markets that weren't being served by Autodesk. Autodesk was focused on the very largest utilities. Right. So he showed me his business plan, and I showed him mine, and we said, I think we should do both. So that's how we really got involved with AUD and AUD integration specifically. And kind of long before we implemented AUD, we were starting to solve some real specific integration issues.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. You know, that kind of reminds me here, we should touch off on all the products that SBS maintains and builds and markets. And, all, you know, for all the folks in the SGSIC that are listening to this, a lot of them, you know, potentially first timers that are going to go to Nashville. And to the Open Conference, maybe just let's give them an overview of SBS and everything you guys do.
Yeah, no, that's great. I appreciate that. So we are more and more every year, we're becoming much more focused as a product company, and we have a number of different products. I just mentioned AUD.
Yeah.
AUD runs on Autodesk Map3D, and that is the basis for our distribution design product, which is very well established in electric and gas utilities these days. We're in some of the very largest gas utilities. I know this is an electric conference, but we do a lot of work in that area. Mm. And then we have been, you know, growing that. Part of what made it so such a well-received tool is that we've got productized integration also to GIS, to mobile computing, to Autodesk Construction Cloud, as well as ERP systems like SAP and Maximo. So AUD is kind of our flagship in terms of distribution design. And then, you know, two years ago, we really repurposed that to also do 3D substation physical design. And our most recent project with that is a communications module, which is very profound in terms of what it does. And, you know, file in the back of your mind that, you know, the prediction control networks we're talking about have obviously are a major communications component too. So that's AUD. And then we have on the substation side, we have SDS Physical for AutoCAD, P4A, we call it. And that's based on AUD.
Right.
But our original product is one, Trevor, you know very well. It's Physical for Inventor. And then that was our original project product on the physical side.
Right.
And then we have the SDS protection control module, which works on AutoCAD electrical. And so that's the on the design solution side, what we do. I think what a lot of people don't know is that we've originally, with those roots in advanced spatial integration and such that we did, we've developed a number of plugins that we've sold around the world too. For example, we have one for GE Small World that can extract data from the Small World system, synchronize it with other databases like Esri or with Oracle Spatial and such.
Right.
And then we more recently developed a plugin that can take that data or any other data from FME and build a utility network model. So a lot of organizations are going to Esri's utility network for their distribution and transmission networks. So we can also enable that too. So that's another area where SDSIC members may not be aware of where we do things, but there's some pretty interesting technological things we do there.
Yeah, that's terrific. Yeah, I think for, you know, a lot of the newer members, you know, I kind of noticed that at our last conference in Kansas. And, you know, a lot of people are trying to figure out, you know, like physical committee, electrical committee, civil, you know, which things are which one's Autodesk, and where does Bentley fit in, and all these different tools. And yeah, so that's great for everyone to kind of hear what all those tools are. So the SDS tools for AutoCAD, Inventor, AutoCAD Electrical, and you got AUD and civil, and you have a lot of technology, I think, that we haven't even touched on at the SDSIC.
No, our utility data technology is pretty interesting too.
Yeah.
So much of what we're doing on the substation side is forging some new ground. You know, as organizations move into 3D model-based design, the work we've been doing on the distribution side is very established. So integration plays into that much more heavily, you know, to asset management systems and such. So, you know, as our SDSIC, you know, substation design suite customers really start to get more advanced and more rolled out in their technology, we know that all those integration needs are out there and they'll look to solve that. And so that's an area where we do a lot of work.
That's fantastic. So let's talk about the consortium itself. You guys, you know, SBS and yourself has been a massive supporter now for at least 7 years, and in a big way, right? You send personnel, you've had folks like Randy Brunette, Steve Kaufman, they've come in, did free training on basically on the first day, right? I've never seen that from IBM, really, for free training. But, you know, having people in there and providing personnel, and then, of course, the sponsorship itself. You guys have put on events. You guys did a great one in Kansas City. The whole evening was taken care of for all the members, and I hear you're doing something big in Nashville as well. So, you know, these things are not cheap, and there's a lot of effort that goes into them from planning on the SBS side. So let's touch base on your feeling on why the SDSIC is so critical to the industry.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing organization. You know, my first SDSIC, kind of like the last one, which I unfortunately couldn't attend, but my first one was in 2016, and that was at Burns & McDonnell in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
It was really impressive to go there to see just how much open communication was going on. You know, the entire group was sharing information and experiences, and I realize utilities are a little different. I've worked with utilities for over 30 years now. But the open information sharing was just really tremendous.
Mm.
So that was my first experience. I've really enjoyed it ever since. I have a lot of places I could be, and I always try my best to get out to the SDSIC meetings for that reason. You know, for my role as CEO, I also consider myself, you know, having one of the chief inventor roles too. You know, I want to hear about the problems users are having, and I view every one of those as an opportunity for us to innovate, to do something better, you know, to make customers' life a little more enjoyable every day. So there's a lot of really fun things that the SDSIC stimulates for us.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I know a lot of the members really appreciate having you there, you know, being able to communicate with you directly, especially some of the customers with multiple seats and licenses of the software. But, you know, it's interesting, it's come up often on the podcast. A lot of folks have mentioned it now, that just the open communication has been maintained. It's our 10th year this year, but, you know, some way, somehow, that open communication hasn't stopped. And even with, you know, all of the services providers that are in the same room together, you know, they're still focused on, you know, coming up with a solution to the problems, not really trying to compete with each other. So it's it's maintained its openness, as you said.
Yeah, and that's just really the right way to do business, you know, to help solve problems together. And I think the whole landscape has changed over the years, too. I mean, if you look at who's solving problems and doing solutions, it isn't necessarily coming all the time from Google or Facebook or Amazon. You know, there's a lot of innovation that we all need to take advantage of.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Once we can do that, we'll help move the industry forward collectively.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Yep. That's very true.
Yeah, we also have a lot of ideas, too, that we like to share and bounce off of people. We think they're all really good, and then we share them, and some may not be as good as we thought, you know? So that's really valuable for us to drive out requirements and help focus our innovation. So that's just another aspect of it.
that's such a good point. I think Mark Nelson, the current co-chair for the STSIC, yeah, I talked with him, and he basically said, you know, there's no bad idea at the consortium, right? I mean, people throw out ideas about how they did a project, and it's pretty open that we do it on our side, just showing software solutions and, you know, hey, what do you guys think of this? And yeah, sometimes it falls on its face, but sometimes it turns into a great new feature.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
So Dennis, I know you had a big year last year. I think every year has been big for you guys since we started doing all the SDS tools and AUD and all the new stuff, but you had a really big year last year. You know, maybe fill in the group and fill in all the newbies on what's been going on at SPS.
Absolutely. You know, we've just been growing steadily every year, and we're getting to the point where obviously we see plenty of growth ahead of us, but for us as an organization that we founded, you know, that was very entrepreneurial in nature and such, we felt we needed to get a partner in to help us continue our growth. And for us, growth means growing our product base, but also means expanding internationally, supporting a number of different things. So we received investment from a really excellent private equity firm out of Austin named Peak Rock Capital.
All right.
So that was in September of last year. And they are part of our board now. They've been giving us a lot of guidance and bringing in a lot of skills on things we haven't been doing as much of. International growth is one of them, for example. And we had a lot of companies that were interested too. I'll just comment on that. They were really interested in SBS, investing in SBS. So we were very selective in who we picked. We really wanted to get an organization that understood our culture, understood our commitment to the customers and to innovation and such. So we're really pleased that they are allowing us to work the way we work, do the things we do, continue to innovate and such, and not just focused on the bottom line, those kinds of things, which obviously is important for any company. Mm-hmm. But it's been a great change for us, and we're really starting to see the effects of some of the growth now.
Yeah, that's awesome. So big shout out to Peak Rock Capital.
Yeah, we groomed sound.
That's great. So has there been any major changes at SBS? You brought in some new folks. You've been, kind of like you said, setting things up to be international. Anything else?
Bringing in the new folks has been an important one. And, you know, that again, because of the investment capital, we can just really bring in some excellent people to help expand what we're doing. I mentioned the international expansion. Organizationally, we're making some changes too. And that's really important because we had been running much more like a smaller company, and
you know, they're just different things we've needed to take on organizationally. So we're adding a little more management structure. We're doing quite a bit more work and defining our services organization and getting that structured a little more formally. Mm-hmm. So all kind of behind the scenes things, but they're really important for us to make sure we can still keep the same levels of customer support and grow, make sure we have plenty of development talent to add enhancements in a timely manner to the products. So those are some of the things you'll see. Probably not big changes, you know, but really just continuing to sharpen the saw as we move forward.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we can see the product features keep coming out. So that's the most important for most of the SDSIC users that are listening. They'll be, and they keep coming. So the LinkedIn posts and the new updates of AUD and SDS and everything keep coming out. So that's it's great to see. And that's one of the critical pieces, I'm sure, for everyone.
Yeah, P4A has been a very, very big, our physical for AutoCAD products has just been a very, very big investment for us. Yeah, we invested a lot to get the product up to market over the last over the last year, really. We've been continuing to take that 1.0 version product and really expand it. We've been doing a lot in terms of tying it to the protection control world, which is really an important requirement our customers have had. And the substation and our activities in our company are really taking a lot of our development resources, which is great, by the way. It's a great place to invest.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, we'll get one of your product managers on soon. They could talk about the details, but I don't want to grill the CEO on the versions that are coming out. So let's focus on some of the bigger things, like just the overall challenges in moving some of this technology forward. It comes up. Everybody I talk to, every podcast, it's always a big discussion, and just trying to get the utility industry to embrace some of the technology.
Right. I put that, lump almost everything into the category of adoption. It's really getting people to adopt. They see the 3D technology. They know it's more efficient. They know it gives higher quality designs. They know it makes better, construction products, deliverables to the construction crews. I think everybody understands that. They've seen it visibly in the vertical construction industry that's doing the 3D BIM-oriented design for a long time. Right. The challenges I see, Trevor, this is one you and I worked on a long time ago, but I think it's still one we have to continue to improve, is getting the 3D physical content available for the community.
Right.
We came out with something called utilitycontent.com, and it's a pretty decent library, well over 4,000 objects. Then we added a number of configurators. Steve Kaufman was actively involved with those.
Yeah.
And all of those have made generating content much easier. Well, yeah, I haven't absolutely cracked the problem yet. We've done a lot of work with translating 3D content from other systems. We've got a bunch of technologies there. Mm-hmm. The Autodesk, formerly known as Forge, their platform services. We've done work with that. We have deep skills in FME. But the content problem still continues to be something that I think slows organizations down. And I think we're going to overcome that. I think we've got the pieces in place. I have other ideas we want to work with to see if there aren't more clever ways you can solve that problem to get organizations to have the content so they can move forward with adopting the technology broadly to their organizations.
So that's great. Yeah, I actually had a podcast with Michael Bruce down in Florida. He was talking about CAD technology and everything. He brought it up. I have to get an accurate count from Steve Kaufman, but he actually showed me the search, and there's like over 5,000 CephCore parts on the utilitycontent.com. So I think it's expanded quite a bit on the work Steve's been doing. So I have to get some accurate numbers on where we're at before we go to Nashville and fill people in there.
Oh, I think that would be great. I think the other thing I've noticed is just that the volume, the hits against that site just continue to go up and up and up. And that for us is really gratifying because we've really worked hard to try to solve that problem. And it's nice to see people recognizing it and starting to take advantage of it.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great point for this podcast. All the members out there, we need the voice of the industry to help push the vendors and work with them. And
you know, I don't even blame the vendors. It's no blame. They have been pretty clear that they cannot maintain model libraries for each individual utility.
Mm-hmm.
They need to have a common, you know, here's the level of detail we need, here's the orientation, all that stuff, and they can help us get that together. So again, to push the SDSIC members, to, especially in the physical group, to come together and say, you know, here's the standard we need. It'll give us some real tools to go back to the vendors with.
Right, right. You know, and there's a whole another domain of content too, and that's from the brownfield substations. And those existing substations that are out there, and there's many, many utilities now have LIDAR scanning initiatives, immersive camera work that's going along. And that is vitally important to us too. You know, the challenge of being able to do intelligent 3D designs on an existing substation is something that is really important, because that's where so much of the activity is going on. When that was one of the driving reasons for going to the P4A, the physical for AutoCAD product too, is that we could just handle LIDAR so much more effectively and put our clients in a position where they could really start doing more and more brownfield design. So we've done a lot of R&D on that, a lot of product work. As you know, Trevor, we've been doing some really interesting work around machine learning and AI in that area, so that we can really help convert that. We've been doing a lot of R&D on it. I think one of the challenges we have in that area, and I'll put this plea out to the entire SDSIC community, is that when we do things like machine learning, the learning word is really important. We need data samples that will allow us to really test and exercise these algorithms. And of course, it's critical infrastructure information, so it's hard to share. But you know, for any of you out there that really want to understand what we can do to start turning your scans into intelligence data, we'd love to open the conversations with you. We'd get into some secure, confidential data sharing arrangements, and we'd love to test our algorithms out on your data. We think it's a game changer for the whole industry. And again, one of those things that really inhibited adoption or slowed down adoption, I should say. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty big one for us.
That's great. I'm so glad you brought that up. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a pet peeve of mine. I've been, and you know, for all the people listening, you might not understand the whole machine learning thing, and even ChatGPT now, it's everywhere, right? It's data. It's, you know, mm-hmm. ChatGPT is great. I even write a poem, but it did that by, you know, searching 8 billion websites and taking pages and content in. When we're trying to train something, right, we get like 5 or 6 models of breakers. Yeah, it's hardly enough to really teach a machine what a breaker would look like every single time it comes across one. So yeah, I appreciate that, Dennis. That's been a it's been a big pet peeve for all of us trying to fix that problem.
Yeah, and the great thing about the SDSIC though is that we have this community that's open and sharing. You know, notwithstanding the information security aspects of this, these are areas where we can solve some really big problems in the industry, and we can get this data in place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. No, it's a great one to bring up for sure. And I think that's going to be a conversation in Nashville. I think there's quite a bit going on. You know, we started a new innovative solutions group, and there's some pretty interesting things going on there in open discussions about how we can, you know, pull together some of this data that we can start training things, and we'll show some samples. And I think it'd be pretty interesting for folks to see at least what's possible.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I think I'm so excited about the substation side of our business, because I think there's so much opportunity for improvement. And I think we are in the early days, so we can, as more and more people push forward and really start doing more and more adoption, we're just going to open up the doors for more and more innovation. I think when you talk about challenges, another one that I've seen, which makes it really hard in the utility industry, again, having worked in it for 30 years, more, gosh, it's way more than that. Having worked in the utility industry for so long, I've seen how much leaner we are in the utility industry than we used to be.
Mm.
And so that makes it hard to adopt new technologies, you know, to get enough people to step back, learn something. It's more than just getting the training. It's really, you know, getting it assimilated into how you do your work. And that change management aspect is something that we all need to move forward on.
we've been investing a lot in training and those kinds of things, adding videos, and we're excited about that. But that again, this is, I think, just one of those challenges that we all have to work together to overcome.
Yeah. You know, one of my, I got to stop saying this because I do it on every podcast, but one of my favorite new things is the silver tsunami is coming. And it's all the silver-headed folks that are going to say, finally, you know, maybe it's the second time they said it, but they're going to retire for real. So we need to, and one of the reasons we're, you know, Sean Weekly and I were posting these things, we're trying to put career hashtags on LinkedIn to explain to the industry, you know, computer science for sure, and that this is a really interesting and, you know, very critical business to be in. And we're hoping we could attract some of that young talent to do the machine learning things. I mean, Dennis, you and I know, if you would have told us even 10 years ago that we would go to a substation design conference and people would be showing what they do with AR, VR. There's people showing game engine, you know. I mean, there's lots of cool stuff going on now.
Oh, it totally is. And, you know, so much of the things that you hear about on the tech front, like digital twins, we're actually doing that. You know, we're creating 3D digital twins with topological models, we're carrying rich attribution and everything. Now it's, how do we exploit that? And we're at that stage now of where can we take this?
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
And that's where it gets so fun.
Yeah, there you go. So that kind of leads into the next question I had for you. It was really, you know, what do you think that, you know, what I guess your recommendation to companies and people out there kind of preparing for this next wave of technology, what could they do to prepare that?
Yeah, I think one thing, and this sounds probably overly simple, but it's just to learn.
Yeah.
You know, having graduated so many years ago from college, I always got in a position, I think IBM did a really good job of instilling this into me, but just keep learning, you know, as individuals. And I've always been committed to learning new things in the world of tech. I started out as an engineer, and then I went into systems and technology. And I know, Trevor, you're the exact same way, of wanting to absorb new things. So, but the things we're doing today, they just were just back in people's wildest imaginations back when I was in college and early part of my career. So, you know, just developing a learning mentality at a personal level and finding enjoyment in it, you know. It has to be enjoyable for you to do that. So I think that's one thing at a personal level I would really recommend.
And that's great advice.
And I think too, is not to get discouraged. You know, we've all seen things, you know, that we thought were going to be really cool.
Yeah.
They never went anywhere. You know, you may still have them sitting in a closet somewhere in your house or whatever else. It's the same way in all technologies. There are certain winners and losers. And sometimes the losers were really decent things, but the market didn't accept them. So, you know, whenever you start an initiative, you know, start it with your eyes wide open. Yeah. And the enthusiasm of the whole thing, don't forget, should look at a business case, use your gut at the same time, but you know, identify the risks, manage them, and then move forward. So,
that's great advice. Yeah, I mean, that's the number one reason I didn't, you know, I didn't text you on my BlackBerry, and we're not recording this on a Palm Pilot, so.
Right. Yeah. I liked my Palm Pilot. Pretty nice device, but once it broke, it was gone. So.
Yeah, gone forever.
Yeah. I'll say, too, is that things take time. You know, we've been doing this 3D substation work for quite a few years, and I think it's gained tremendous traction. It's been fun to watch it, but I remember 10 to 15 years ago, ideas I had that never got anywhere. And today, people are really interested in them.
Right.
And so sometimes it can be too forward-looking, and it just takes a while.
So an element of patience is pretty important in the world of tech too. Even though things change so quickly, people don't, and it takes a long time to get started with things.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, well said. You know, I think of some of the machine learning now. I mean, we couldn't even run it, right? We couldn't. I mean, 6 years ago, you couldn't open some of these 6 billion point LiDAR clouds and run some kind of machine learning. I mean, you just couldn't do it. And now it's okay. You could run it on a laptop. Fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Bedsetting.
So let's lead into, I'm sure you have a kind of future vision for all of this. Do you have something you want to share about where you see this all evolving to?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think they're just a bunch of, you know, when you look at where the future is going, you have to kind of look at the bigger outside forces that are changing things. You know, obviously improvement in computing, machine learning and AI are very, very popular right now in the tech hubbub. Digital twins have been for a while. Right. And all those things really flow together. You know, it's when you merge these technologies and is how you really get the best innovation out of it. So, you know, and when we look at things like grid modernization, you know, it's our whole network is changing. Yeah. And so getting more and more efficiency, supporting BIM, and, you know, is really going to be important for us. So as our clients do more and more rollout of intelligent substation design, they're really going to be generating the information to drive meaningful BIM kinds of things. And when I talk about BIM, I mean, it's just an overused acronym, but there's several aspects to it. You know, that you've seen the 7 or now 8 dimensions of BIM. and they're pretty interesting. You know, the asset management is obviously a big one, which is 7D BIM for utilities. They have trillions of dollars of assets. And that's where digital twins really play in there. We're creating the digital twins. And we have the ability to establish unique identifiers on them. And now the workflows about keeping those up to date, having them feed other systems, making them available for analyses. Hmm. That's one of the key things I think is going to be very transformative for us. So that's a big one from my perspective. I think some of the other areas that are very interesting, getting more into a macro substation level, you know, the work we're doing to combine our physical design and move it to the AutoCAD and the AUD platform is that we're introducing network topology to substation design on the physical side. And then when you look at protection and control, that's all about topology. And so I really see getting those disciplines merged closer and closer together. That's going to take some time, but that's where we're putting quite a bit of work right now, quite a bit of development resource. And there's so much more that can be done once we get into that world of really getting the system much more holistic. Mm. That's a pretty exciting area for us. But getting back to the BIM side, you know, we have a lot of things that are starting to be proven out about how we're creating safer designs too. And we're making repeatable construction. So we're really driving 8D BIM. And anything you do to improve constructability, to improve safety, is a really, really big deal. Then the other area that I just think, again, this is one of those areas, it's kind of funny, it gets hyped and then wrong directions, but it's just critically important, is sustainability, which is 6D BIM. And sustainability is really critical in terms of being able to, you know, build sustainable construction, have sustainable designs, minimizing rework in the field, all these kinds of things that we should be doing a lot more with. We've been toying with ideas around sustainability indices. So when you create a design, you can start assessing what you've done positively or negatively to impact sustainability. That's we're in the very early stages of this, but it's something, again, we'd like to get the right thought leaders in our utility organizations together with us so we can really figure out the best way to approach it. It's a very important problem when you look at all the tremendous amount of construction spend that's going to be going on to support grid modernization. So I ramble and ramble. So several thoughts that come to my mind when you talk about the future. There's just so much exciting stuff that we can be doing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So when you talk about sustainability, you're talking like carbon capture and all that kind of stuff too. I see that a lot.
You know, from our standpoint, with and on the podium of design, you know, to me, it's about improving the design so we can ensure that it's sustainable.
Okay.
And you know, using the right elements and materials, quality, and sustainability has to be a very holistic asset lifecycle look at it too. You know, if you can substitute a cheaper product, that doesn't mean it's going to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. So we have to look at the life cycle sustainability impacts of anything we're designing and building.
Okay.
The vertical industry has done this, you know, with like LEED certification, those kinds of things.
Right.
I think it's just conceptually very new to the utility industry.
Mm. Yeah, you know, you think about all the electronics you throw away now, you can't fix them anymore. Just
build them.
Built with garbage components, right?
Yeah. When you look at construction processes too, the construction industry has loads and loads of rework.
Mm.
And so just improving quality and accuracy and those kinds of things is going to have a significant impact on sustainability and on time to market, getting all this infrastructure in place so we can start moving to renewable energy sources in a more robust way.
Yeah, right. Wow. So you mentioned a couple of things there. One of them was to, you know, keep learning, you know, don't get exhausted by the process. Do you have any other really kind of great advice for folks in the SGSIC that are listening to this? And, you know, I think of, you know, people that are just coming in and maybe coming to the first live conference and you have six different committees set up and, you know, coming in for the first time. You know, what would you advise those folks to be doing down there?
Well, I think one thing that I haven't mentioned is just to be open to change.
Mm.
A lot of what we're doing with 3D intelligent design has been accomplished in other industries, you know, in the building industry, for example. So I sense sometimes a lot of resistance when you can be very efficiently the old way. And I think having a mindset that not only that you can change, but we need to change is really important. All the things that I've been talking about with regard to a better asset management, sustainability, and other critical things to our future really get enabled when you do things better and different. Specifically, the 3D intelligent design that we promote as a company, that's an enabler for taking things to a completely new level.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm thinking of that image of, you know, that cartoon of the cavemen that don't have time to look at the wheel.
Exactly.
That's great advice. Keep an open mind. There you go. So Dennis, I always like to ask things that motivate you and your work and everything. And being founder and the CEO, that might be a non-question, but you know, do you have anything that really motivates you day to day?
Yeah, you know, I have a little motto in my life. Take positive steps forward every day. You know, life begins with the first step. Goals begin with the first step. So I really like improvement, and improvement can be measured different ways by different people, but I just like to take little steps forward every day that can ultimately create a big difference. And as I look back on my life, that's one of the things I really see. So just making positive steps every day is what keeps me going.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, that reminds me of my old boxing coach. Just telling me you gotta keep moving, just keep stepping forward. He kept end up back on the ropes. Only Muhammad Ali knew how to do that.
Yeah, exactly. That old obadope.
Yes, that's right. The only one that survived that. Oh, that's great, man. Yeah, great advice. So what's your, you're running SBS. You guys are, you know, you took on an investment partner. You're growing. What are some of the biggest challenges you're facing now?
Well, I think internally it's helping our organization adopt to the change, you know, that we're becoming a bigger organization. That's just a consequence of success. So hoping that people here realize that we're still retaining our customer values. And you know, we started out with three values in the company. And so I want to ensure that our values of flexibility, innovation, passion for customer service continue to be carried forth by everybody in the company. So those are some of the things. And of course, I really get a lot of joy from seeing our customers adopt the technology. And so we want to just keep pushing forward ways they can adapt better. And I just view that you can call it a challenge, but it's also an opportunity.
Mm. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that, I mean, that is a big challenge, though, right? To keep the corporate culture as you try to grow. So,
right.
That's awesome. Well, you're doing a good job. So keep those features coming out. That's what we need. All right. One of my favorite questions is books. Any books you would recommend to all the members out there? And, you know, it's always hard to find books. You try to read the reviews and everything. So it's much nicer to get a recommendation.
Yeah. I'm reading a variety of interesting books right now. One I just finished was called Brain on Fire.
Mm.
And it's actually a journalist from the New York Post who had a really rare health condition. And she just talks how she fought through it. And sounded like she was just an outstanding person before it happened. And she was completely misdiagnosed. It was a very rare circumstance. And just what she accomplished to get back to where she is in life was just very uplifting for me. Now I'm reading a book called The Power of One, which I'm really enjoying. And
okay.
Happens there. It's an older book. A movie was made about it. But they're all about people's journeys, right? And the things they're doing.
Yeah.
From a kind of a self-help or improvement standpoint, I just finished a really good book. I'd recommend to anyone, called Atomic Habits.
Oh, I love that book.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, that's great.
Just all the little steps you need to do. And it kind of goes into what I was just saying earlier, you know, if you take these little steps, atomic sized steps, and you can accomplish huge things. And they have a bunch of fantastic examples. So I'd recommend that to anyone that wants to progress and learn how to adopt better habits since they started the year of 2023.
No, that's great. Yeah, that's such a good book too. So it was Brain on Fire.
Yeah.
That was the other one?
And the other one was The Power of One.
Power of One.
A young man in Africa, and I'm in the first quarter of the book. He's just suffering all kinds of abuse. He meets a boxer who befriends him. Mm. So I think you might like that, Trevor.
Yeah.
And then it just very, very entertaining read right now. Like, I can't tell you how it turns out because I haven't finished it, but it is something I'm actively reading right now. I have a long flight ahead of me this weekend, so
I feel
I'll probably finish it pretty easily.
Yeah, that's great. No spoilers. No, that's good. So let's close it out with any big future plans. I mean, you've already had a big year last year and the last couple of years. I mean, anything big going on future plan wise?
You know, I'm just really interested in seeing things progress, particularly on the STS technologies. I think we have the opportunity not just to be the leading software in North America, but, you know, the international expansion. And once we get this community bigger and bigger, it's just going to drive more and more innovation. That's just very exciting to me. We have a lot of North American customers. We're doing well in Australia. And we're really starting to see interest in Europe, the whole Asia Pacific region. We've had quite a bit of demand in Latin America. We just weren't really ready to start fulfilling that because we're growing so much, and spent a lot of time getting the products much more marketable. So we're in a position to see that, and that's where some of my excitement is in terms of the future plans. So it'll just be fun to see that the little company we started with a handful of people turn into an international entity. And it's all very exciting.
Yeah, I bet. That's awesome. Fantastic, Dennis. Well, you know, on behalf of the whole SDSIC and the community, you know, we really appreciate you. We appreciate SBS, all the support, you know, that we couldn't get these conferences going. And, you know, now we're kind of at critical mass, but, you know, in the early days, it was all sponsorship and you guys were always there and helping us move things forward. So we really appreciate you.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, it's been a real pleasure being associated with the SDSIC. Look forward to a lot more of it and look forward to seeing people in Nashville. It'll be great to catch up.
Yeah, there you go. So anyone listening, anyone that doesn't know Dennis, you might see his picture on LinkedIn, but how tall are you, Dennis?
I'm 6'8", 5'8". I like tall people. and so I'm pretty much the easiest person to spot at any conference.
There you go. You're not going to miss them. Walk around Nashville, just spot Dennis and, hey, go up to him and, you know, say thanks. They say hi for sure. He's very approachable and, yeah, you won't miss him.
Great.
Thanks a lot, Dennis. It was really great talking to you. I'm glad you could get the time in.
Oh, absolutely. And then take care and look forward to talking again soon.
Yeah, for sure. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Power Up Podcast today. If you enjoyed this conversation and you're not yet a member of the SDSIC, join for free at sdsconsortium.com. Be part of the community in all these great conversations. And maybe you'll be the next guest on the Power Up Podcast.